This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, As-salatu was-salam ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd. Ayyul ikhwa, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah wa ba'd wa nas'alullaha an yataqabbal minna wa yaghfir lana dhunubana wa yukaffir anna sayyi'atina nas'aluhu bi'ilman nafi' wa rizqan wasi' wa alayhi natawakkal وإليه المصير وهو مولانا وحسبنا فنعم المولى ونعم النصير ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله إلى علي العظيم. Praise be to Allah, Lord of the worlds, peace and blessings on His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Dear brothers and sisters, may the peace and mercy of Allah be with upon you all. And we ask Allah to accept from us our efforts and to forgive us and to help us to be merciful to us. We ask him for beneficial understanding and knowledge and wide sustenance on him we utterly depend. To him is our goal and return, and there is no power and might except that of Allah. Now we're on hadith number 25 from An-Nawwi's Arba'in. I hope you have a nuskha, a copy of that in front of you, with or without translation. And if you haven't, I'll give you a chance to do that, inshallah. So, as Imam An-Nawwi says, if you look at your print, not in the translation, it's a small thing, but he says, "An Abi Dharr radiallahu anhu aydan," from Abi Dharr al-Ghifari, he means radiallahu an, from him, aydan, also. Why does he say that?
Must be additional narrator, Sheikh?
No. It's not part of the hadith, by the way. If you go to Sahih Muslim, where this hadith is taken from, it's not there, that word. So let me put another translation, also from Abu Dharr. Why does he say that?
I think it might be two sources of hadith, maybe. So that's why. I'm just going with Aydan, the word Aydan.
Yes, of course. Who narrated the last hadith?
Oh, he was Abu Dharr. So, sorry.
It's not a trick question. Yeah, now you know why he says that, everybody, yes? Okay, just to clear that little point up, says, yeah, anhu mean from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, saying, he's commenting first before he says what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. So, Abu Dharr saying, and anasan min ashabi Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam qalu للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا رسول الله ذهب أهل الدثور بالأجور يصلون كما نصلي ويصومون كما نصوم ويتصدقون بفضول أموالهم قال أَوَلَيْسَ قَدْ This is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now speaking. أَوَلَيْسَ قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ مَا تَصَدَّقُونَ إِنَّ بِكُلِّ تَسْبِيحَةٍ صَدَقَةٍ وَكُلِّ تَكْبِيرَةٍ صَدَقَةٍ وَكُلِّ تَحْمِيدَةٍ صَدَقَةٍ وَكُلِّ تَهْلِيلَةٍ صَدَقَةٍ وَأَمْرٍ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ صَدَقَةٍ وَنَهْيٍ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ صَدَقَةٍ وَفِي بُضْعِ أَحَدِكُمْ صَدَقَةٍ قَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَيَأْتِي أَحَدُنَا شَهْوَتَهُ وَيَكُونُ لَهُ فِيهَا أَجْرٌ قال صلى الله عليه وسلم أَرَأَيْتُمْ لَوْ وَضَعَهَا فِي حَرَامٍ أَكَانَ عَلَيْهِ وِزْرٌ فَكَذَلِكَ إِذَا وَضَعَهَا فِي الْحَلَالِ كَانَ لَهُ أَجْرٌ رواه مسلم. So some of the people, companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, came to him saying to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Messenger of Allah, the affluent people have run away with all the rewards. They pray as we pray, they fast as we fast. Yeah. But in addition to that, they give in charity for the excess from their wealth. So the Prophet ﷺ said, has Allah not made things for you to give in charity? Meaning even though you don't have wealth like they do. Surely every subhanallah that you say is a charity. Every Allahu Akbar you say is a charity. Every Alhamdulillah you say is a charity. Every La ilaha illallah you say is a charity. And anyone doing standing up for that which is right and just, Amr bil Ma'ruf, is a charity. And anyone standing for against anything which is munkar and wrong is a charity. Then something he said, which of course shocked them, not just surprised them. And in the sexual act of each one of you is a charity. They said, O Messenger of Allah, are you saying, in brackets, are you saying, if one of us comes and fulfills his desire, meaning with sexual intercourse, are you saying there'll be a reward in it for him? Prophet ﷺ said, do you not see that were he to put it, meaning to do it in a haram way, would there not be sin for him? So, would there not be sin for him? Likewise, if he then does it in a halal way, there will be ajr, reward for him. Notice he changed the word from sadaqah to ajr here. Show you the meaning of the idea of sadaqah. So, as I said, this hadith is one, the version taken from Sahih Muslim. It, of course, comes in other places. And I'm going to give you some of the other versions because they give a more complete understanding of what's going on. And as Imam Zaragoza says, it is reported by Imam Bukhari in his Adab al-Mufrad, not in his Sahih, Abu Dawood, Ahmad ibn Hibban, and Ibn Khuzaymah. So I'm going to give you some of the other versions. This one is in also Sahih Muslim, and it's Abu Huraira. Abu Huraira says, أَنَّ الْفُقَرَاءَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ That the poor people from the Muhajirin, the emigrants, this is in Medina, they came, أَتَوْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ came upon the Messenger of Allah صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَقَالُوا And they said, ذَهَبَ أَهْلُ الدُّثُورِ بِالدَّرَجَاتِ The affluent people have run away with higher station. Darajat means Darajat al-Ula. in getting the highest station, meaning because they're doing modernas, wa na'im al-muqim, and in comfort and bounty, which is established, meaning in dunya and hereafter, the getting of the benefits from that from the wealth. Faqal, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Wa ma zat? How's that? What do you mean?" Qalu, they said, "Yusalluna kama nusalli, the prayers we pray. Wa yasumuna kama nasum, the fast as we fast. Wa yatasaddaquna wala natasaddaqu. Wa yu'tikuna wala nu'tik." They are giving in charity and we are not giving in charity. And they're free slaves and we don't free slaves because we haven't got any, in other words. That's part of the wealth, isn't it? فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, so the Messenger of Allah said, أَفَلَا أُعَلِّمُكُمْ شَيْءٍ, shall I not inform you or teach you something? تُدْرِكُونَ بِهِ مَنْ سَبَقَكُمْ, that you will reach with it those who went before you, meaning of good rewards. وَتَسْبِقُونَ بِهِ مَنْ بَعْدَكُمْ, and you will outstrip and overtake those who come after you, meaning in a similar situation to you. وَلَا يَكُونُ أَحَدٌ أَفْضَلَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا, and there'll be nobody better than you except مَنْ صَنَعَ مِثْلَ مَا صَنَعْتُمْ, except the one who does similarly as to what you do. قَالُوا, they said, بَلَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, of course tell us, O Messenger of Allah. قَالْ تُسَبِّحُونَ وَتُكَبِّرُونَ وَتَحْمَدُونَ دُبْرَ كُلِّ صَلَاةٍ ثَلَاثًا وَثَلَاثِينَ مَرَّةٍ. Yeah. Do subhanallah, Allahu Akbar, alhamdulillah after every salah 33 times. Yeah, 33 times. So here's another version of the similar idea that's been taught with and this is authentic as well. So it has the parallel with the other hadith of the tasbih and tahleel, takbir and the tahmid. But the other hadith, the first one that we mentioned from Sahih Muslim, of course, contains more. And then they said, فَرَجَعَ فُقَرَى الْمُهَاجِرِينَ, after some time, they came back, these poor emigrants, to the Messenger of Allah, complaining again. They said, فَقَالُوا سَمِعَ إِخْوَانُنَا أَهْلُ الْأَمْوَالِ, the people of the wealth of our brothers and sisters, they heard about what you said, what we've been doing, yeah. Fa'alu mithla, so they've started doing the same as what we're doing. Faqala Rasulullah, so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Zalika fadlullahi yu'tihi man yasha." That is the bounty of Allah; He gives to whom He wills. Yeah, there's nothing more you can do. So they've, even the rich, they're giving in, they've started doing the tasbih, tahleel and tahmeed, etc. as well. Yeah. So that adds something extra, which wasn't in the other hadith. And another version of the hadith, which is also, this one's actually this is in Sahih Bukhari, but not the same hadith. Remember, I said that particular hadith wasn't in Sahih Bukhari, but something similar to it from Abu Huraira. قالوا يا رسول, Abu Huraira is saying that they said, yeah, meaning some of the companions who were poor, context tells you, ذهب أهل الدستور بالدرجات والنعيم المقيم, same as just the hadith I mentioned, that the affluent people have taken all the higher stations, yeah, meaning before Allah and permanent pleasures in this life and the life to come. He asked again, how's that? And they say the same thing. And this time they said, laysat lana amwal, we don't have wealth to do what they're doing of giving in charity. So the Prophet says, I'm saying, أَفَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ بِأَمْرٍ تُدْرِكُونَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ وَتَسْبِكُونَ مَنْ جَاءَ بَعْدَكُمْ, same as he said in the hadith in Muslim, shall I not inform you of something which, you know, you can reach those who went before you and outstrip those who come after you? Yeah. And he carries on. And he says, تُسَبِّحُونَ فِي دُبْرِ كُلِّ صَلَاةً عَشْرًا وَتَحْمَدُونَ عَشْرًا وَتُكَبِّرُونَ عَشْرًا. So in this version, saying Allahu Akbar, La ilaha, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, and Subhanallah, even 10 times after each salah. Yeah? Gives you that kind of charity and reward of a dhikr. And remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. Now, when I look at this hadith, and I've been thinking about it, and I've thought about it before as well, these companions have come complaining, a kind of complaint, they're imploring. They've come out of a kind of envy, haven't they? And Ibn Rajab mentions that. Ibn Rajab actually does say, he's the only one who does say, and I was thinking to myself, because Imam Nawawi doesn't say much anyway, you know, because he's very brief, he only makes a few comments. Imam Tufi doesn't say anything about that. Imam Zarabozo in the more recent English one doesn't say anything about that. Ibn Rajab does mention that they've come with envious of the people of wealth, of material wealth. And yeah, you do get an element of that, but it's not the kind of envy which is haram, yeah? Not that kind of envy. And of course, in regards to that, there is a hadith which is mentioned, reported by Abu Dawood and Ibn Majah, the famous hadith from Abu Huraira, saying that the Prophet ﷺ said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْحَسَدْ. Yeah, beware of envy. فَإِنَّ الْحَسَدْ يَأْكُلْ حَسَنَاتْ يَأْكُلُ الْحَسَنَاتْ. For surely envy devours good deeds, كَمَا تَأْكُلُ النَّارَ الْحَطَبْ, like fire devours wood. Yeah. This hadith is famous, but it is actually weak. As Imam Sheikh Albani says, it is weak. And others have said it before him as well, because there's in the chain is an unknown narrator. And even in the Ibn Majah version, there is a narrator that has been rejected to be taken from. So this hadith is da'if. However, the meaning of hasad being haram, and it's this kind of meaning, is authenticated anyway from Quran and Sunnah, isn't it? Because, for example, when we recite in the Quran, Surah Al-Falaq, yeah, when قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقُ, yeah, when we say I seek refuge and protection, yeah, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from Lord of daybreak, yeah, part of it is وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدْ, yeah, and I seek refuge in Allah basically from the envier when he or she envies. For the evil of the envier, min sharri hasidin idha hasad. So shar is linked with hasad, yeah, showing you that shar, and shar is evil, means it's haram, yeah. What does that hasad mean? In essence, or envy in English, has the meaning in this context of envy with jealousy and hatred. This kind of envy, which is haram, is that you see something in someone else and you want it to be removed from them because you hate it so much with them. It comes with hatred. And hatred that stirs in the heart, you can see why it, even the da'if hadith, the weak hadith mentioning about it devouring good deeds, because once envy with hatred comes in the heart, what kind of person is that going to produce? Who's full of hatred, jealousy, yeah? And you see how that will affect their deeds, And first and foremost, it will affect their heart. That's why we say seeking refuge in Allah from the shar, from the evil of the envier when he or she envies. So that envy is the one that is haram, of wanting the other person to lose whatever they have and you attain it instead out of that jealousy and hatred. And that is also mentioned in a hadith which is going to come. It's hadith number 35, 10 more hadith on, and the hadith from Sahih Muslim, when the Prophet ﷺ says, La tahasadu, when he's talking about the akhuwa between believers. Tahasadu is from hasada, but tahasadu, when there's mutual envy going on and hatred of each other. So do not envy one another. La tahasadu. Reciprocating that kind of envy with hatred and jealousy. Don't do it to each other. These things destroy a khulwa because that is stirring inside. So there it's showing you again that it's haram to do this hasad. And the other authentic hadith in Bukhari Muslim, Muttafaqun Alayh, and others, in which the Prophet ﷺ said, and it's linked with this, La hasad illa fithnatain. Fithnatain. There is no hasad except in two kinds of situations or two kind of people. Now, this hasad cannot have the meaning of, because envy doesn't necessarily mean with hatred and you want it removed from the other and brought to you. But a limited envy is also that you are admiring of what somebody else has and what they're doing, and you wish that you could do the same. Everybody with me? You wish you could be the same as them, what they're doing. That's also envy, but it's not with hatred and jealousy. Yeah, it's more with admiration and a desire to do more good. Yeah, so it saddens a person not with hatred, but they want to do more because they want to reach the level of good that the others are doing. So when the Prophet ﷺ said, La hasad here, except in two people that you can have envy, it doesn't mean to say here, now you can have hatred here and I want to remove it from those people. No, this is the limited meaning of envy here. The good kind of envy is only allowed in for two kind of people. As I said in Bukhari Muslim, this hadith, except in two. Rajul atahu Allahu al-Quran, fahuwa yatluhu ana al-layli wa ana al-nahar. A person who Allah gives the Quran to, meaning they learn the Quran and they are reciting the Quran. And he or she recites it during the night and during the day. Yeah. In another version of this hadith, it says, a person, آتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْكِتَابُ هَذَا الْكِتَابُ أَوْ هَذَا الْقُرْآنُ, that Allah gives him or her the Quran. فَقَامَ بِهِ, and he stands by with it during the night and during the day. That has a wider meaning now of what it really means, because standing by it, قَامَ بِهِ, means following it day and night. Yeah, or it can even mean reciting it in the night and also applying it during the day. But actually, it covers both day and night, meaning all they live by the Quran, yeah, not just recite it. So having envy in that kind of person to want to learn the ayat of the Quran and to understand them and to apply them, yeah, that is the kind of envy which has been allowed. Yeah, the second. A rajul, as in Bukhari Muslim, atahu Allahu mal, fatasaddaqa bihi ana al-layli wa ana an-nahar. A person who Allah has given wealth to, and he or she spends from that day and by night, yeah, in charity, giving to others. And that's the kind of envy again, which has been allowed, because you marvel at that and you look at that and you praise it and you wish, I wish I had that wealth. So I could also give in charity like this person is doing and get all the rewards he or she is getting. In one of the versions in Bukhari Muslim, it's interesting that instead of mentioning the Quran and the book, it says, Rajul atahu Allahu al-hikmah. Yeah, wa yaqdi biha wa yu'allimuha. A person who Allah gives wisdom to, and he or she judges and decides and lives by that wisdom, with this hikmah, yeah, and teaches it to others. Yeah, now this wisdom can mean the Quran. It can mean Quran and Sunnah, as Quran refers, as Imam Shafi'i famously said, when it mentions hikmah, yeah, that the Prophet ﷺ was given, it means his Sunnah. Yeah, but it can also mean wider than that. Yeah, wisdom. Yeah, based on Quran and Sunnah, but wisdom of its understanding and its application in situations, yeah, in our present life, and in so also specific situations and people problems that people bring, how the Allah's given them wisdom to be able to decipher and give the right advice and to be able to understand and give them the right kind of guidance. So all that's included, and this is all from this same hadith in Bukhari and Muslim. Interestingly, even though Ibn Rajab mentions about the fact that these companions who are poor have come with an envy, he doesn't go into the comments and the evidences I've given. In fact, nobody does that I brought. And these are the things that came to my mind when I saw this picture of these Sahaba coming. That's what I thought of these ahadith to do with that they're like envy is not allowed except in two, and they're looking at, yeah, in the wealthy person who's spending their night. That's what they're having, that kind of envy in them, which come from hadith in Bukhari and Muslim. That's and secondly, the context is very important, because it really is about poor companions coming to ask what they can do to increase in good deeds and raise their station. Yeah, that's the context. But the Prophet ﷺ gives something more in it than what they've just asked for, as we'll see. And the attitude you see in this hadith of the Sahaba is similar to the attitude as Imam Ibn Rajab mentions and Imam Zarabozo mentions, referring to the verses in the Quran, that when the Ghazwat Tabuk came, the going to Tabuk, some of the companions could not afford to ride a camel, or didn't have the means to come, armor, etc., to be able to take part. Yeah. And their attitude was one of, they were really upset. They weren't celebrating and rejoicing that they couldn't come. Yeah, this is aside from the three companions who stayed behind, who we mentioned last time. Yeah, in regards to the last of these, that they turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to no one else. They turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We mentioned that last time. But this is other companions who were not able to come. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Tawbah, when he mentions the obligation of the command that was given by the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everybody from the companions to come out, except that those he decided to leave behind. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in verses 91 and 92, ليس على الضعفاء ولا على المرضى ولا على الذين لا يجدون ما ينفقون حرج إذا نصحوا لله ورسوله ما على المحسنين من سبيل والله غفور رحيم. There is no blame on the weak or on the sick, nor on those who have nothing, yeah, to spend, yeah. La yajiduna, they have nothing that they can spend to enable them to join. There's no blame on them if they stay behind, provided that they are sincere to Allah and His Messenger. There is no cause for reproach against those who do good, meaning these who are staying behind because they're sincere, they want to come. And some of them were crying because they couldn't come. There is no cause for reproach against those who do good. Allah is all forgiving, ever merciful. Yeah. And then Allah says, وَلَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ إِذَا مَا أَتَوْكَ لِتَحْمِلَهُمْ قُلْتَ لَا أَجِدُ مَا أَحْمِلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ تَوَلَّوا وَأَعْيُنُهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ حَزَنًا أَلَّا يَجِدُوا مَا يُنْفِقُونَ. Nor there is reproach or blame can be there against those who, when they came to ask you, or the Messenger of Allah, yeah, for a mount to go to the battlefront on, yeah, meaning a horse or a camel, and when you said that you had no mount for them, they went back with their eyes overflowing with tears, grieving that they had no resources to enable them to take part in the fighting. See, that attitude is the same attitude what these poor companions are coming with, isn't it, brothers and sisters? Yeah, and that's why that those verses are relevant to mention here. As I mentioned by Ibn Rajab and Imam Zaragoza as well. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is responding to them as they're saying, in their minds, what they are thinking, of course, is that they can only do charitable deeds with wealth. That's the conclusion. That's why they come. Yeah, that's why they're saying they pray as we pray, they fast as we fast, but they're giving in charity, يَتَصَدَّقُونَ بِفُدُولِ أَمْوَالِهِمْ, from the excess of their wealth. And as in one of the versions say, and we can't do that. We don't have any wealth to do that. And they're free slaves, and we don't have anything that we can free from the slaves either. Yeah. So they are thinking, as Ibn Rajab says, that the poor are thinking that sadaqah is only with wealth. And the Prophet ﷺ opens a different door for them to show them actually it's not just with wealth, and they can do things, which will also count in their favor, like charity. Yeah, like charity. For me, what's important to understand here, and you'll see that there were differences of opinion of how people understood this. Some people made out that the dhikr, for example, of subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, yeah, is actually better than even the wealth that is being given as sadaqah. Some people came to that conclusion, yeah. And others said no, and I am from the latter, because the Prophet ﷺ did say, even in the other hadith, remember he said, shall I teach you something by which you will reach those who went before you and outstrip those who come after you? What does he mean? He's not saying for those who are given wealth and they help others with it and give to others. Otherwise, there'd be no need for the other hadith in Bukhari Muslim. We say that envy is allowed, or it's not allowed except in two situations. And it mentions a person with wealth that you want to be in their position to be able to give to others. Notice it didn't say a third person in that. Quran was another person that was understanding and following and fulfilling and following its guidance. But it didn't say envy in a third person who's doing lots of dhikr, did it? Interesting. Why? So when the Prophet ﷺ says, this is still me speaking, that to reach those, be able to reach those of good people who went before you, he means from the poor people like you. And to outstrip those who come after you, it's possible as well to do that, because you're going to do something that they are not necessarily going to do, so you can outstrip them and go beyond them. Yeah? So it is, he's not teaching something which by which they're going to outstrip and forego and go ahead of those who are giving of their wealth to others, to help others. No, but he's teaching of something which is sadaqah from them. When they have no wealth, they can still do something. Yeah, that's what he's teaching them. Yeah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And notice when they say come back in the other hadith, not in this version of it, in Muslim and in Bukhari, they come back and say that those people, the affluent, have found out about what you've told us about giving in charity with doing subhanallah, alhamdulillah, and they're doing the same. What does the Prophet ﷺ say? Yes, because they've now still gone ahead of them, because they're still giving off their wealth as well. And that's why the Prophet says, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. That is the bounty of Allah, who he gives to whomever he wills, meaning of their wealth. Yeah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has potentially, of course, wealth can be a fitna for people as well, yeah, as the Prophet warned about. So it's a big trial to have wealth. It's not as simple as saying, actually, I'm envious of that person. They have lots of wealth. I wish I had it and I would do the same. Who said you're going to do the same when you get wealth? Everybody with me? It's easy to say, yeah, not necessarily that you're not going to be. How many people went astray when they became rich in history and present time, and will continue because Shaitan deceived them? Isn't that so, brothers and sisters? Yeah, which reminds me of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he says, and he says, "Mal faqru akhsha alaykum, walakinni akhsha alaykum." In Bukhari and Muslim, this hadith is reported. I thought I'd actually get it printed out as well. Maybe not. But this is part of the hadith. This is when some companions came with wealth. And after the salah, the companions were really happy. And Prophet ﷺ was smiling and telling them to abshiru wa ammilu. He said, and glad tidings for you, and wish and hope for that which is pleasing to you. Then he says, yeah, by Allah, mal faqru akhsha alaykum, despite all this wealth, by Allah, it is not poverty that I fear for you. Walakin akhsha alaykum an tubsata alaykum ad-dunya, but I fear for you that dunya will open up, yeah, for you, lay out for you all the wealth, in other words. كَمَا بُسِتَتْ عَلَى مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ, as it was laid open for those who came before you. فَتَنَافَسُوهَا كَمَا تَنَافَسُوهَا, Yeah. And that you start competing with one another for the wealth as they competed before you. وَتُهْلِكُكُمْ كَمَا أَهْلَكْتُهُمْ أَهْلَكَتْهُمْ أَهْلَكَتْهُمْ. And it destroys you like it destroyed those before you. Yeah. You see, as the Quran says, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. May you prefer the life, meaning all its material, of this world, whereas the hereafter is better, best, and everlasting. Now, nevertheless, this is not to say wealth in itself is a negative and a sinful and a bad thing. Similarly, Imam Az-Zarabozo says as well, and he quotes Al-Haytami also saying, who also did a Sharh of the Arba'in, as you know, that there's no virtue in Islam of necessarily being poor, yeah, and no sin in being wealthy. Indeed, being wealthy, as I say, may be more virtuous depending on what you do with the wealth, yeah, as we notice from this particular hadith we're looking at. That's why these the poor companions are envious of that, yeah, because they're seeing that they're getting greater rewards. So my point here again is that having the envy doesn't necessarily mean that we're not going to be tried when and if we do have wealth. And we may fail in that, and we may get destroyed by the wealth, as the hadith of the Prophet says. So he's not worried about the fact that we're poor. Now, so the point I was making is that this is not in the context of this hadith, and the guidance must be kept in mind that it's poor people come. So the Prophet says, I'm giving something that the poor can do to give in charity to get greater rewards, which they can't do in a material sense. And the ones who are more wealthy material, they can do that as well as this. Yeah. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. As he said, that is a bounty. If they're still outstripping and doing outdoing you from them, because the others, there'll be others who have fallen to the trap of the wealth. Yeah. And shaitan's deceived them completely. But there are those who haven't fallen into the trap of wealth and haven't given priority to this dunya and this life, but give their preference to the life to come, and they are giving to others. Yeah. So they, because they're helping others, yeah, there's a difference. There's a difference between that and those who are doing some of these things. Some of these things. And we look at that. So as I said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, is there not something that Allah has made for you to give in charity? Surely in every tasbihah, that subhanallah is a charity. And you see, charity here means, like the last part of the hadith mentioned, yeah, that there'll be reward in it for you. That's the idea of sadaqah here. Yeah, ajr. That's the meaning here. It's a charity, meaning that as you're going to reward for it. And every takbir, Allahu Akbar, there is a charity. And in every alhamdulillah tahmida, there is a charity. And every tahleela, la ilaha illallah, which isn't mentioned in the other two hadith, but it's mentioned in this one, saying la ilaha illallah, in that is a charity. And here the Prophet adds more, as compared to the other ahadith that I mentioned at the beginning in Bukhari and Muslim, which don't mention this. وَأَمْرٍ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ صَدَقَةً. And standing up for all that which is right and good, yeah, living by it, standing up for it, in it is a charity. And standing against all that which is evil and wrong, in it is a charity. So this أَمْرٍ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهِيٍّ الْمُنْكَرِ has been left or wide open for anybody doing it. So this is, I mean, how we translate this is not just da'wah, calling others to the truth and to justice and kindness and staying away from evil, but it is really Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy bil Munkar is the essence of the guidance of Islam. It's the very essence of the guidance of Islam. Yeah, justice, all that which is good, kindness, and built on believing in Allah and having given no partners to Him. Yeah, so Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy bil Munkar, you notice here, whereas dhikr is me doing it for myself, it is not benefiting anybody else, although it affects my heart and indirectly could benefit others when I come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it's really for every tasbiha and takbirah I do, it's benefiting me. I'm getting as though I'm being charitable to myself, really, aren't I? Yeah, when I say subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, with meaning, this is very important. There are, when Prophet ﷺ saying that, in every tasbihah, tahleelah, tahmeedah, and takbeerah, there's a sadaqah, he doesn't say after that, by the way, as long as you understand the meaning of it. Why isn't he going to say that? I'm asking you.
Is it not understood, Sheikh, that everybody would have understood the meaning of what was being said?
Yeah, because the Arabs in front of
their language. Yes,
he's speaking in their language, but I need to say it now. I need to say it now, not to Arab-speaking people, but to all the rest of the Muslim world if they don't understand Arabic when it's saying, yeah. Because there are, why do I need to say it? Because we know there are many people who just go around saying, counting as though they were counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and they've not. There must be a feeling and understanding of when I say it, subhanAllah, 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 subhanAllah. What does it mean? Yeah? Glory be to Allah. And I said that in similar to phrases we don't understand and we misapply them. Yeah, we misapply them. When we say Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, no, most people of non-Arab, they don't understand what they're saying. They just think, that's why they think that you only say it when somebody dies. That's all they've learned. Yeah. But it's not true. Yeah. So similarly, those phrases, when you're saying people are used to doing this 33 counting, but they've missed the spirit of that counting of what they're saying. Why didn't Prophet ﷺ just say count anything 33 times? He's saying specifically say subhanallah, glory be to Allah. So because Allah doesn't need your glorification, who's it impacting?
Ourselves.
It's supposed to impact me and my heart when I say subhanallah. When I say alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, what am I showing? And the Arabs listening to the Prophet ﷺ understood immediately. When they're saying alhamdulillah, I'm saying praise be to you and thanks be to you, Ya Allah. How many people of non-Arab background have understood ever that? When they're saying alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. What's that making you? It's making you full of humility and gratitude to Allah. What's that going to do to your heart when you keep doing it from your tongue, moisten your tongue with zikr? It's supposed to affect me. Yeah? Subhanallah, I say, yeah, because I'm not, nobody has a position near or a partner before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's free from all that. Yeah. Allahu Akbar, Allah is the biggest. Yeah. Who created and made all the horizon and the galaxies and whatever else people think that they are, that they can't even see, they can imagine a multiverse. How big is Allah who created the multiverses, if there is such a thing? Allahu Akbar. And what does that do to me? It makes me realize, yeah, who I am and who I'm going to answer to. Yeah. Yeah. And La ilaha illallah, again, our very foundation, repeating it, there is no God worthy of worship except Allah. Yeah. And that's why profound as they are, they have rewards. Yeah, I'm giving charity, actually, is benefiting myself. And look, when you go to wa amrin bil ma'ruf now it changes from you to benefiting others, isn't it? Yeah. Included in that, because you're going to stand for which is right and just, you're going to live by that with your tongue and your behavior with others. Yeah. And advice to others, an example to example, and against munkar. So you're going to avoid lying, cheating, and deceiving. Except that's going to affect others as well. And you're going to call and you're going to stand against those who lie and cheat and deceive as well and say this is wrong. Yeah. So now it has an impact on other people. Yeah. So actually you're benefiting others. Yeah. Benefiting others. So actually you're giving charity to others. That's why in every Amr Bil Maruf is a charity. In every standing against injustice is a charity, is a sadaqah, is a reward. Yeah. So in that regard, Ibn Rajab, for example, he mentions that to correct the idea that it's charity is only through giving wealth from wealth, that's what the Prophet is also trying to do. And this is also brought out in other ahadith. Ibn Rajab mentions them, one in Bukhari Muslim part of it, saying, Kullu ma'ruf in sadaqah. All doing good is a charity, meaning doing good to others. وَكُلُّ مَعْرُوفٍ صَدَقَةٍ in one version in Tirmidhi, all doing good is a charity. وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ and part of doing good is أَن تَلْقَ أَخَاكَ بِوَجْهٍ طَلْقٍ that you meet your brother or sister with a smiling face. Subhanallah. Yeah, that is giving to others. وَأَن تُفْرِغَ مِنْ دَلْوِكَ فِي إِنَاءَ أَخِيكَ and that you empty whatever water is left in your bucket into the bucket of your brother or sister, meaning you're sharing the water, which can be applied in a wider sense, which is a good hadith. Ibn Rajab also mentions, and it's not a major point, but he says, hadith in Sahih Muslim also gives the idea of Allah giving charity, being charitable to you, giving benefit to you. And some of the Salaf rejected this idea, but actually Allah subhanAllah, where do we begin with a charity from Allah? Allah's given us everything, we don't have a right to any of it. So all of our life, our existence and everything is provided us with the environment. Yeah, every moment of it is a blessing and a charity from Allah, is it not? Nevertheless, yeah, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in regards to the salah, which is for the musafir, qasr, yeah, he said for shortening your prayer when you're on a journey, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, sadaqatun tasaddaqallahu biha alaykum. It is a charity that Allah has bestowed upon you. Faqbalu sadaqata. So accept his charity. Why in that sense? Because Allah made obligatory prayer 5 times a day. And it is the 4 rakats for Dhuhr and 4 for Isha. Yeah, and 4 for Asr. So these are the ones who you're going to make into 2. And Allah has allowed you to do that and accepts it as though you've done 4. Yeah. So in that context, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned it like a charity that Allah has given you. Yeah, so accept and take that charity, meaning do the qasr when you're musafir. So Ibn Rajab says, interestingly, that sadaqah, charity, which is non-wealth, yeah, not material in the sense of giving out from your wealth, is of 2 kinds. One in which the ihsan of it, the goodness of it, the ma'ruf of it, passes on to others from creation. So it's a charity upon them, as I've been saying to you earlier. But it's to creation, actually. So it could be actually to the environment, and it could be to the animals and human beings. Yeah. So, and the second kind, which is of a non-material kind of charity. Is that which is beneficial, and its limit and its benefit is limited to oneself. Okay? Limited to oneself. Now, I'm looking at the time and I'm thinking if I start going into that, then I'll go well over the hour. So, and I'm still not going to finish the hadith, so I may well leave it to complete next time in the next session, inshallah. Because I want to look at the last bit of it in a bit more detail as well. The Prophet also mentioning about the sexual act having a charity in it as well. So I will actually, I'll stop there. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. Questions on what we've covered so far. You may have questions which are linked with that may well come as we complete the hadith next time. So I will defer on those. For the moment. Any questions, brothers and sisters?
Assalamu alaikum, brother Munir. Jazakallah khairan. Again, wonderful. Sorry. Akhi, you mashallah preempted one of the questions I had beautifully about tasbih. So jazakallah khairan for that. That's now quite clear. Because one of the issues in my mind was that there's many gatherings where people gather for tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and potentially even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it was just understanding that, especially in the context of the fact that we aren't native Arabic speakers, but people just seem to recite, and it becomes almost like a fervor. And perhaps guided or misguidedly, whether or not there was reward attached to it. So that was the first question. But I think for me, Jazakallah Khair, I think you've certainly answered it. I think for me, certainly, it's about the sincerity of when it is done, and understanding is important, but would welcome obviously hear your comments on that too.
And we can go wider than that. More importantly than that, you know, this dhikr that we're mentioning, part of dhikr is salah, isn't it? As salah is dhikr.
And absolutely.
But its benefit was meant to be to affect the heart, not that we're just going up and down like a carcass, but it has something inside it which makes the heart beat and freshen and liven up. And makes the eyes and the heart shake when we recite it. Why? Not because the qari is doing it in a melodious manner.
Yes, of course.
Because of what Allah's saying in it. Yeah. Why? Think about it. People forget the purpose of the Quran. When the Quran itself is telling you to reflect on the Quran and to contemplate on it. How can you contemplate on it if you don't understand a word that's being said? You won't even understand that fact that it's telling you to contemplate. And it's telling you it's a guidance and a mercy and a shifa and a healing for what? Well, how can it be? It's not hocus pocus kind of here. Allah wouldn't send a book that he calls guidance. Think about it. The creator of the heavens and the earth to people who don't understand it.
Yes, absolutely.
What sense would that make? Because you can just go up and say, Ya Allah, well, you sent me a message. I never saw the word of it.
Absolutely, sir. Yeah, I mean, Aki, to also just to allay any doubts, when I have certainly challenged this with brothers and sisters, Jazakallah, thanks to your knowledge, actually, I've been met with the response that this is tradition. And as we know, there are traditions of all sorts which are misguided, but this was never, these zikr gatherings were never, ever done by, obviously, never done by the Prophet, never done by any of the Sahaba at all.
I don't, by the way, if you ask me about zikr, I haven't got a problem with zikr gatherings.
Okay.
It depends. Don't take it somewhere else.
Understood.
Understand what I said. I haven't said against, and I'm in fact in down in the middle for this. I think zikr gatherings are absolutely fine, and those who call it bid'ah have gone to an extreme in it, because the Prophet ﷺ remembered Allah, as Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha has said, kulli ahyanin, all the time, any situations. And there are hadith about mentioning those who get together to remember Allah, to study the Quran, how the angels gather around them. They're doing it together. And if we mention the Quran, what if I sit there reading du'as together from the Quran, etc.? All of that can be dhikr. Subhanallah is from the Quran. Alhamdulillah is from the Quran. Allahu Akbar is from the Quran. Yeah.
Yes.
So my point here is understanding what you're saying. Yeah. Understanding what you're saying in the idea. If you want to talk about zikr gathering when they have hadra and people jumping up and down and dancing and things, that takes it to a different. That's of not course. My point yes, here. And I won't even type. Get drunk. I won't get drawn into that, okay? Because there are dhikr gatherings that can go beyond the limits and hudud, but that's not all dhikr gatherings. There are some very, the idea of doing dhikr together, whether reciting together, mentioning, whether doing tasbih and tahmid together, it's absolutely fine. But the point that's being made about the Quran and the words of dhikr is understand them. That was the purpose.
So, we're right in understanding that obviously where people are doing Khatme Quran, for instance, that is just reciting the Arabic in the hope of obviously reward from Allah SWT. I understand that there is ajr for recitation of the Quran even without meaning. Is there benefit in that?
Well, it is questionable. You don't say they're doing wrong. It is questionable if nobody's understanding what they're reciting. And this idea of, right, somebody's died, we're going to complete the Quran, you take a juz, you take a sparrah, you read it. Each one's reading it, and they haven't understood a word of what's being said, because nobody reads it with translation. If you want to adjust it, if you want to do that, then tell them to read it with meaning. That was the purpose. The purpose of the Quran is not just counting for the sake of counting. Its purpose, if you miss the purpose, you miss the essence. Yeah. And how many other people who recite the Quran because they didn't understand the message, they'll do opposite to what the Quran is saying while reciting it, they will carry the sin of the Quran. The Quran will become a burden on them. People don't realize it.
No, of course. JazakAllah khairan. Thank you. I have another question.
People say I'm reading it for barakah. Read it for barakah.
Yes.
Yeah. And I've said it many times in the khutbah. Quran wasn't sent for you just to read it in a foreign language. It's going to do some magical potion spell on you. You need to understand it. It's sent primarily for your guidance. So ask, what is it saying if you don't understand? Read the translation if you don't understand.
I have another question, but I want other brothers and sisters to ask before, if that's all right with you. JazakAllah.
Anybody else, brothers and sisters? Some might have gone already because we've gone on, maybe. No one else?
Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. Just
wondering
about this finishing 125,000 beats counting as a zikr. And please advise.
The counting isn't a problem. Some people had a problem of present day saying, counting on beads and that is bid'ah. But I don't accept that view again, because counting is just a wasila. As Sheikh Qardawi rahimahullah said, and others, and my sheikh as well, and many sheikhs have said that it's just a wasila way of counting. Instead of counting on the fingers, you're using something to count. The counting isn't the problem that people made it into. Yeah, my point here is that counting the Subhanallah and the La ilaha illallah, understand what you're saying. Understand what you're saying. And the idea of this hadith is telling you, in every tasbihah is a sadaqah. Yeah, so the method of counting, perhaps I sit there with a stopwatch and say, Subhanallah, 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 Subhanallah. Is that a bid'ah now? Nonsense. I haven't added anything to the ibadah. It's a method of counting. Perhaps it'll be more accurate. Yeah. Hope that answered what you were asking. Anybody else? Before we finish?
May I ask the last question then?
Yes, go ahead.
Just one thing that occurred to me in my little mind was that, alhamdulillah, with this hadith, I feel that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is addressing something far deeper in the way of, and please correct me if I'm wrong here in my limited understanding, about active and the active nature of certain things, but also if we could read it in context of the beautiful hadith about how wonderful is the case of a believer where we're blessed for even enduring hardships, almost like passively. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards us both passively and actively. For me, that is, subhanAllah, quite an amazing concept. I just would love your input on that, please, Akhi.
Yeah, I mean, everything for a believer is a source of reward, isn't it, brothers and sisters? All of our life, and that's why it's always good. All the affairs, all the time is good for a believer, isn't it? The famous hadith of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Whether they're in difficulty or whether they're in prosperity. Yeah, sabr and shukr. This is what they're going through. So, enduring some difficulty, even then, really, it's not passive even then, because when you're enduring it, you're imploring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So your lips and your tongue is moist with His remembrance again, isn't it? Sabr isn't you just fold your arms up and sit in a corner.
True.
Is it?
Yes.
Is it?
Yes.
So
yes,
that's is right. It really passive?
It's no, no, passive, in that way, no, absolutely right, subhanAllah. We don't just wait.
Think about it. It's not passive. We are never passive.
Hmm.
And there it brings out the idea of taking opportunity. Well, every moment in life is a bounty and blessing from Allah. So I know what you're saying, but it's not really passive either.
No, I understand. Okay, thank you for the correction.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Barakallahu feekum. And I
are we off next week, Sheikh?
If that's... I don't think we're on next week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's.
I think I've done 5 weeks on the trot this time, haven't I?
Yes, Sheikh.
I remember. Maybe 4 or 5, anyway.
Yeah.
I think I've done 5. So we'll have a break next week. And what's the date the week after?
1st of November.
That's fine. I will complete, Allah willing, this hadith in that session, inshallah. If you all remember, make a note of it in your diaries.
Inshallah.
And then, because then I'm away, inshallah, after that for a few weeks. Jazakumullah khairan.
Jazakallah khairan.
It's recorded, yes?
Yes, Sheikh.
Ayyakumullah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Members, in your du'as.
Iman illah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.